Danette Gorman, organizer of an event called Hudson, New York - Ketermaya, Lebanon, Closer Than You Think, which includes the screening of two films, one about Ketermaya, the refugee camp in Lebanon, and one about the Hudson Public School Program, which brings Hudson students and the young students in Ketermaya together through a pen pal program. And we have also documentary and filmmaker Lucas Jedrzak. And they're sitting down now. And so we'll get started very soon. But we can't have any dead air. This is WGXC Acra, 90.7 on your radio dial. We're in the Hudson studio. And streaming online at WGXC.org 24/7. Thank you.
And Ellen, this is Debbie Mayer.
Yeah, and Ellen, you're back with us, eh?
We're back.
Good.
I mean, I'm Ellen Thurston. She's Debbie Mayer. Do you think they mix us up, Debbie? Our voices?
That's a good question. They might.
I think my voice is higher than yours.
Yeah, and your voice has been on for a long time. They should know your voice.
Well, the lady at the DMV called me "Are you the woman on the radio?" she said.
Well, good for her.
There are many women on the radio. So I don't know. But anyway, it was a friendly gesture on
her
part.
Yes. Right.
So we're here.
Sounds
with
like it.
I'm already mixed up.
Do you want me to pronounce my name? Is it hard?
No. Tell us who you are.
Yes.
Danette
Speak.
Gorman.
Hi, Danette.
Danette Gorman. And Lucas Jedrzak.
Nice. Very good pronunciation, yeah. It's actually Jendrzejak, but it looks like a Jedrzejak. So
yes.
I won't go into that. It's a very difficult Eastern European name.
Mm. But Lucas is Lucas.
It is indeed.
Wherever
yeah.
you go.
That's
so
true.
Uh-huh. If you don't mind, we'll call you Lucas.
Right. Great. Perhaps we could do that, yes.
Well, we're here to talk about a really interesting project that involves the refugee camp in Lebanon called Ketermaya.
Nice.
And this is a real test for me, having to pronounce these names. So pardon me if I get them wrong. Tell us how this all started, Danette, because it's an interesting story. Mm. I didn't realize that the church was involved at one point.
Mm-hmm.
That's
it
where
does.
It all seemed to start.
Right. Actually, I mean, this...
And
this,
talk close to the mic.
Sure. This Thank began... You. I mean, this really is Lucas's story. I mean, I'm happy to share how I got involved.
See.
But and I'd like him to kind of kick it off, but he created a film called Ketermaya. So my involvement was quite simply seeing the story at a socially relevant film festival in Manhattan, March 15th of this year.
Oh, I see. You saw it in New York.
Mm-hmm. In Manhattan.
And so, Lucas, let us start with you then. Tell us how you happened to make the film.
Okay. Depending how much time we have.
We have plenty of time.
Okay. A few years ago, I found out about Syrian refugees who are coming to Europe, who are based in Kala, in the jungle. And I got quite interested in this. I was always a very big advocate for human rights, being an activist myself in the younger days. So I got quite interested in the story in Ketermaya because it was about kids who were very resilient, who were trying to change things, who didn't want to go to Europe, who wanted to return to Syria. And once I started to do the research, I decided to go and visit the camp. And what I saw could perhaps not prepare anyone to see it. It was nothing like you see on the news. It was nothing like you read in the papers. People were in a very, very terrible conditions. There was starvation. There was contaminated water. There were deaths. There was lots of depression. And I just started, recording what I saw through the eyes of the children. So to the point that the kids had a camera as well at some point. It wasn't only me. The kids filmed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And And I wanted to do this as an observational documentary type project to film the kids from the stage when they are 6, 7 years old all the way till they get to the late teens or maybe be in the 20s to see if a child who's got dreams like any other child but being based in a different geographical location, whether they would have any chance to progress without the access to education. And I guess after two and a bit years of filming, I put a little bit of material together, which was called then The Unseen Footage, which turned up to be a film. Again, in my opinion, the film is not ready yet. I'm still coming back and filming. But on one of the screenings in New York City a few months ago, I've met with Danette, this great Wonder Woman, who came to me after the screening, and she said, I need to visit those kids. I need to go and, you know, and see them. I'm quite touched. And it was very amazing and very encouraging sort of meeting to see how the audience reacted, how Danette wanted to take some action. I couldn't do those things because when you make a film, you want to be as objective as possible. I didn't want to become a propaganda. I didn't want to ask people to donate to one particular camp and leave the others. But if someone from the audience wanted to do something about it, I was extremely, appreciative, and I was really touched about that. So I know it's a very small drop in the ocean when you talk about, I'm just taking the figures now, 28 million kids in the world displaced because of the conflict. Mm. We're talking about 134 children, but mm-hmm. You need to start somewhere, and
right.
And that's what Danette started to do, I think, mm-hmm. Since our last meeting 3.5 months ago, maybe. So mm-hmm. Things moved very much drastically since then.
So Danette, do you live in New York City and you come up here on weekends, or?
No, actually, my husband and I relocated to Hudson in October of 2016, mm-hmm. and I was working an event in the city, and we were in the city for, 15 years, something like that. I guess really simply, I was working, so I wasn't there to see films. I mean, there's all these kind of miracles that have come into play. My stepfather works in a studio in Hollywood, and they asked for me to help out, and so it was a great opportunity, and it was a bit slow, and he said to come. Yes, he just suggested. Is that good? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you can move that mic, so that it's comfortable easier. For
oh,
you.
Thank
yes.
You. Much better.
You
so
too,
much more
yes.
comfortable.
Yes.
So very simply said, why don't you go and see a couple of films, take a break? And so that's how, so I happened to see, I actually question whether I've seen the entire film. I saw perhaps, the majority of it. And how I got involved was I just felt an immediate response to want to go there, and I'm just an average person, I'm not an educator, I just had my heart just was really transformed, and honestly I almost didn't even meet Lucas because I didn't know who the filmmaker was. It was very quick, and finally figured out who he was, asked him a couple of questions, and then he said he was going there in April.
Oh, uh-huh.
So this was March,
uh-huh.
So that was April,
right.
and clearly going to the Middle East was not straightforward for
right.
a lot of reasons, and knowing that he had traveled and spent a lot of time there, I felt I really needed to kind of leap at the opportunity
mm-hmm.
and get there. And
mm-hmm.
so how I brought it to Hudson, I'm a member of the First Presbyterian Church
mm-hmm.
in Hudson, and
mm-hmm.
I first spoke with my husband. He said, you need to go there, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I spoke with our pastor, Catherine Belke, who's amazing, and immediately created a way. She said, I have a thought. Let's put together a mission or an organization to start to support something we can do for the children,
mm-hmm.
and your ability to get there and kind of assess the conditions and understand, learn more about mm-hmm. the camp. And so very simply, we went into action immediately. It was
wow.
the next week.
Uh-huh.
All happened very quickly.
Yeah.
Then.
So you went to the camp in April also?
So we decided, we knew education was a priority, and we decided mm-hmm. we would focus on school supplies, something that was accessible, that would be used right away. So we raised enough money through friends and family in our church to do that and to get the trip started. I work in the fashion industry, so a manufacturer that we support donated some tote bags. There was some children's manufacturer, okay, which was very nice. And Rob from Musica, the music shop in town, who I love, donated a ukulele and recorders and finger puppets. And
We were trying to figure out what kind of instruments would she carry. I think Debbie said flutes.
They look like, it looks more like a clarinet, actually, the retractor.
Yes.
I should say, Lucas, you got a piano to the camp. Yeah, it's a pretty big deal when we were actually there.
Wow, they got a piano to the camp.
That was one of the things, actually, Lucas had said in the conversation was, I'm going to the camp, I'm showing the children the film for the first time, and I also want to bring them a piano. And I thought, and my stepfather is an amazing musician, so they had this conversation, and he wanted to help, and anyway, he ended up working it out. But I was on a plane April 27th.
Wow.
And we worked really quickly. I think we were there for 4 days.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And again, the objective was to meet the children, to understand how they live, to bring something from our hearts within Hudson. And I mean, I think the minute I stepped foot, at the campsite, I was transformed into wanting to do so much for these children, because, all you see in them really is their light and their hearts and their hope. That's what I saw. I think that's what I think that's probably what you see. Maybe you would say it differently, but I feel like, these are children that deserve a chance, and they have the desire and the hunger to learn and to persevere, but their situation is what we couldn't even imagine, So the question becomes, what can we possibly do? And we kind of visited the camp, looked at where they lived, how they ate, spoke with them, played with them. And when I, got back from the trip, I just was even more, overwhelmed with the desire to just really go into action. So I started to work. A good friend and neighbor, Maria Setmeyer, I chatted with her about it, and I said, I really want to get something going to support education. Really, there's three objectives. There's basic needs, nourishment. There is health and healthy environment. There's tremendous need, and education, because to, persevere, they really need to have a way to move forward and contribute to the world. And they really want to rebuild their country, if that can ever happen, and go back to Syria, but, one step at a time. So very quickly, Lisa Dolan also is a huge support. We discussed a pen pal program that would allow to get English letters to the children so that we could translate them and have them to start to communicate.
Is she still working at the school? I thought she retired.
She is retired. Yeah,
but so she's still
there. She's never going to stop. Matter of fact, I think she's just getting started.
Yeah, she's great.
Well, you got the kids wrote letters back and forth, and somehow they got translated.
We started with a kickoff call, and please stop me I could talk as much about this, and Lucas probably has a lot more to say than I about the children, because you have a lot more experience. But in terms of Hudson and what we're doing, what we did was we kicked off with a video call, which was really important to show both sides, so they could see one another and understand these are real children that we're writing to, and just to get a sense of the spirit of the children. And we did that the last week of school at the Hudson Intermediate School. So Bridget Smith is spearheading the program for the school district, and Lisa has just been a tremendous mentor to help us get it facilitated. But just some very important aspects of that first step was that there are children in the call here in Hudson that remarked that they were really excited to see the children that they were going to write to understand that these letters were actually being delivered to, these faces that they could see. They were blowing kisses to one another. I mean, just amazing. And they asked questions back and forth about their lives, like, do you like to dance to music? What kind of foods do you like? They learned that they had things in common.
Yes.
So I mentioned that obviously because it's really important to see that connection. And I've what I've kind of spearheaded is what I'm calling the Hudson Ketermaya connection, because I really see it as a community embracing another community, you know, reaching out and connecting, you know, with their hearts. We have a lot of objectives, but it's the first step, you know, is the connection. So we started that, and they wrote a group letter, and that group letter has been translated. And what's going to happen next is the children in Ketermaya are going to write their letters in Arabic to introduce themselves. How old are you? What is your, you know, basic things about their life? And we'll have those letters translated to English and then matched in September with a child in, at the Hudson Intermediate School.
Wow.
So that was one step.
That's great.
I just wanted to maybe, if I may, add a bit of a background information to all this.
Please.
Because you may have some listeners may be wondering, hang on a second, why are you guys doing this? We've heard of UNHCR, which stands for United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, and you think, hang on a second, maybe they look after the refugees already. But the situation in Lebanon is very complex. There are many, many refugees, and the I was reading from UNHCR data, there's 1.6 million refugees in a country that is only 4 million of population. On top of that, they have many Palestinian refugees. And what is the effect of that is that there are a few camps run by the UN, but majority of the camps, majority, I'd say maybe 60 to 70%, are independent camps. So the people live on farmers' land. Quite often they would pay $200 per house, tent, or whatever the shelter is, but quite often they would live there for free, and there won't be any access to education, there won't be any access to water or toilet, showers, proper food, medicines, and I think this, what you guys do, is extremely important, because quite often on the surface it looks like they are okay. They have a shelter and they're not dying out of hunger, so we've done our job. But people don't realize how much depression is there in the camp, how many times the kids wet their pajamas because they still hold that stress. They don't have access to any consultancy, any help. They quite often don't leave their houses for 2 or 3 years in the winter, in the hot summer. And I did experience this firsthand, and I think it's very important that they know that there's someone there in a Western society that can raise their hand. There was a great example when I did set up in a similar way how you work with Hudson, a quick page with pledge. Can people put few dollars or quid in UK, and whether we could maybe bring the piano to Ketermaya? And it happened within 20 hours. It was only the people who watched the film, mainly from New York City, but a few people from UK as well. And we've raised, I think, $800+. We bought the piano in Beirut, and we delivered this to Ketermaya. It was amazing. The kids could experience something that otherwise they perhaps would never do it. If you ask me now what happened to the piano, perhaps it ended up to be a goal for a soccer game.
Or
maybe they chopped it for, you know, more
fuel. Yeah.
But I think if we could make a change to 2, 3, 4 kids, I mean, what about if we do more of that? What about if every refugee camp receives piano? Or what about if we change that contaminated water of cholera disease to a properly running water so the kids could drink water?
Right.
And what about if there was a teacher from Hudson or anywhere in the US to go to teach them rather than the kids sending to work? Because it's a very small camp of 320 people, and majority are kids. So they need to do the work. You know, 10 to 15-year-olds, they just go pick olives in a heat. They work to building sites. They work in a chocolate factory. And this is wrong, because all kids should be equal. They all have dreams, and, you know, they all should be encouraged to do something in the future. When we talk about lost generation, this is it. You know, they all hope to return to Syria. They don't want to go to Western Europe. They don't want to travel anywhere else. They just want to return where they come from. And it's very difficult to leave that camp and, you know, not to stick to those hopes. You know, they believe that they will go tomorrow, maybe next year or next 10 years.
How do they get transported there?
They walked through the mountains through Syria. So majority of them, they came without any valid paperwork, and therefore they're not qualified to any aid. Saying that, some would receive a monthly benefit, financial benefit, which I think is around $17, where the country is, I think, equally as expensive as the United Kingdom. So it's extremely difficult to live on $17.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you have 25% of the Lebanese populations are Syrian refugees. So I always try to translate that to UK side. If we had, I don't know, close to 15 million or more of refugees, UK would collapse.
So definitely.
Yeah, this is the kind of interesting parallel that, you know, how the Lebanese people cope with this. No, they don't anymore. And and therefore, those independent camps or informal camps, they're left to be. And therefore, the kids, you know, they just are in this limbo world. You know, they cannot go back. They cannot move forward. And, So I thought that's important to know what
it
you guys
is.
Do here.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're talking right now to Lucas Jedrzak. All right. A documentary filmmaker who made a film about Ketermaya, the refugee camp in Lebanon, and to Denat Gorman, organizer of an event called Hudson, New York, to Ketermaya, Lebanon, Closer Than You Think, which includes the screening of two films, one about Ketermaya and one about the Hudson Public School program that brings Hudson students and the young students in Ketermaya together through a pen pal program. So it's the Thursday afternoon show, and that's what we're talking about right now. Do you want to talk? The program is Sunday, I believe?
It is, yep. Yeah. Sunday, August 6th at Basilica at 4.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And we're very excited about it.
Right. Yeah. So you'll screen Lucas's film?
There'll be music, and then Lucas's film will start at 4:30.
Uh-huh.
It's 78 minutes, and then we'll have a very short documentary about what we've started in Hudson.
Right,
that I should say also includes the Hudson Muslim youth. And we're developing kind of the next step of that, but it was important to get as many, you know, youth in the community as possible, and they had just formed when I came back and have done some beautiful things.
They formed an organization called...
They formed the Hudson Muslim youth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say the date, but it's been relatively recently. Mm-hmm. And they, for example, they created Eid Ramadan cards for the children in Ketermaya and, you know, decorated them and wrote beautiful letters of hope and inspiration and really from their hearts. It was really, really spectacular. So all that will be presented as we have some beautiful footage of the kids.
Uh-huh.
You know, I suddenly remember that in World War II, my war, or the one I remember, anyway, the most. I had a pen pal in England.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it came about.
Wow.
I think I still have a letter that she wrote. And she sent me some little gift, a little stone or something, as I recall. Mm. But those things are very meaningful. So I think
yes, they are. I mean, an acknowledgement to these kids of Ramadan would be tremendous, just in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. True.
Shall I add one thing? Not having access to education, not having teachers at the camp, it doesn't mean that the kids staring at the, you know, at the sky. Mm. They started to teach themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
did 10, they?
10 and 12 years old, teaching the younger ones who are 6 and 7 and 8.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced something really magical. They even songwrite. They do create their own patriotic songs about, you know, peace, about you know, loving your brothers and sisters and living in one united world. And I think that's very something very creative, artistic, that should perhaps be channels with you know, a bit of a help from someone who's more professional, whether that's expat from Syria or United States.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, as a documentary filmmaker, I'm trying to make this in a very objective way. I don't want to kind of praise one camp more than the other. But you guys, perhaps you can do that. You've been there. You did see those kids. And if I could ask from a filmmaking point of view and public point of view, because I went with this film to 20 plus festivals around the world, and each at the Q&A, everyone asked, "How can we get involved? What would you like us to do?" where can we send the support? You know, how do we reach them? You've got all these questions, which would be wrong for me to answer, but now we have this amazing, amazing project that you guys created.
You have an organization.
And perhaps Danette could say how people can get involved. What can they do?
100%. There's three things, I mean, right off the bat. The first is as many people as can possibly, you know, get to the Sunday event. It would be really important because this is a chance to see the film, to learn about the lives of these children and families, to meet Lucas, who, as you can see, has a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge, and to really, you know, get some questions answered and really understand the situation. That's number one. Again, that's at Basilica on Sunday from 4 to 7. The film starts at 4:30. It is a free event when there will be some really amazing music as well. We have a band, a local band, Ryder Cooley, has written a song. Yeah.
The Dust Bowl Fairies.
Yes. She wrote a beautiful song for the children, and then we have a lot of professional musicians coming together to sing at the end with a children's chorus, and it's really going to be inspiring. That's number one. Number two is we do have an organization and a site. It's www.helpsyriaskids.org, and really important to check that out because you'll see, you know, there's information about, you know, what are our objectives, what have we done so far. There's a project page. Perhaps most important is a take action option. So you can share, spread the word. You know, we have between, you know, each person I think in the world has many connections that they would want to share the story with, or people who can help us. We're just starting here and we don't have all the answers. We have open hearts, a very strong desire and passion to help these children. It will happen. Like, we will help these children. There will be transformation. They will persevere. It will happen. I don't quite know exactly how, but take action would be that button, and there's a donate option there. One of our first partners, as I've mentioned, is the First Presbyterian Church. They've been tremendous. All of the donations are managed currently through the church, so they're taking ownership of handling all of the accounting. It is a tax deductible donation, so that's really important to note, and it is on the site. So there's a lot of good information also on projects. You'll see what we've done with the children and the school here and the Muslim youth, and some images. All the images that you see were shot at the camp. I just took them, so they're all, you know, of the children themselves. And then I guess that's what's the next thing we talked about? I'm just trying to think of, besides donating, I mean, it's really just becoming aware and donating, you know, being becoming involved. I know what I thought of it. The third, we just put it together today, a meeting. We're going to have a community meeting on the 26th of August 26th. At 11 a.m. At the library.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, we thought it would be a really great idea to get people together that want to talk about their ideas of how to help the children. I cannot express enough how beautiful just putting this event together has been for me personally, just to become more aware every day. Sometimes it feels every hour of the people in this community. And I am just blown away by the heart and the people that have these experience and ideas to help.
You know, when I was reading about your going to your minister at the First Presbyterian Church and the quick response that seemed to be there, it is amazing. And so many things start like that in Hudson, and one thing leads to another, and I have a friend who can do this, and before you know it, it's there.
Yeah, so. I have to say, you're absolutely right. And I mean, for someone like Lucas to come here and visit this town, I think you've probably witnessed just the love and the connection in this community. Just, it's like instant. And and when I've communicated, I mean, I mentioned Rob from Musica, you know, I just had a conversation. He immediately said, "What can I do to help?"
Yeah,
connected me to musicians, pointed me to the folks to call. I would call them. Yes, I'm in. What can I do? I mean, I can't. It's just the pace at which the response has been. Melissa at Basilica, I had a very brief conversation with her after a screening. Maybe it was 3 minutes long. This is what I did. I really want to find a location. We're absolutely interested. Call Sarah on Monday. Done. That was it. Done. They are donating the space for us to provide the screening. All the proceeds that are provided, because it is free, mm-hmm. go to the Children of Ketermaya. I couldn't be more grateful for that. And I just, back to the community event on the 26th of August at 11 at the library, mm-hmm. is that I just am excited to hear what people have to say. What are your ideas? What are your thoughts? There are people that have experience with distant learning. Technology may be a challenge. We can figure out connectivity. But just there's so much richness in not only, again, desire, but true experience and knowledge and education that we have at our fingertips. So our objective mm-hmm. is to really mm-hmm. just get those That's ideas wonderful. Together. Yeah,
that's great.
If I could add, a little 1% to that extra background info. When you speak to Syrian people on the ground, to the teachers and the kids, unfortunately, they know all about America from the news. And mm-hmm. so it's not the best stuff. Mm-hmm. They see that Mr. Trump administration doesn't welcome Syrian people to the United States. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the only involvement of outside of Middle East is Russia and U.S. in military exercise. So they already have this kind of pictured some kind of a strange image. It would be quite nice to prove this otherwise and say that actually we're guys with you. And, you know, it's mm-hmm. not what you see in the news. But that's what somehow those channels, they reach to Lebanon. And, yeah, it's, whether it's fault of Al Jazeera or someone else, I'm not sure. But they have mixed messages. Mm-hmm. So, we try to kind of prove them wrong as mm-hmm. well in that sense.
Right.
Yeah. That's a big one.
It is. So we're talking about two events here then. Sunday, which is August 6th at 4 o'clock from 4 to 7 at the Basilica. Is music, a screening of films. And then August 26th, then I believe, is a Saturday. Saturday, August 26th at the Hudson Area Library at 11 o'clock.
Yep, 11 a.m.
Yeah, 11 a.m. Yep. is a community meeting mm-hmm. to discuss people's ideas and what they would like to do to help this effort, what they think can be done. That's terrific.
I promised that I would try to find out for you the names of the women, the nurses that went to.
Oh,
yes.
I'm not sure where they went, but it was a refugee camp where people were, I think, walking through the mountains to get there. And
please, if you can, still working on it.
Yeah,
it wasn't the people who went to Lesbos outside of Greece. There was at least one nurse who. Volunteered there. I'd have to look it up.
No, I can find out.
Okay.
Or Debbie writes for one of the local newspapers, so she has access to lots of information.
I do, but it was a while ago that this person was giving.
Yeah, it was more than a year.
Well, or at least last fall.
Is she local?
I believe so.
She's local. We'd love to get her to the community meeting. Well, certainly both events.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been trying to reach someone who would know. I think would know her, and I'll let you know if I find her.
Good,
that would be terrific. I just stressed also Sunday is a child friendly event for sure. Mm-hmm. We'll have ice cream and mm-hmm. food, and really just want to create an energy, a positive for us, for Hudson as well. I mean, mm-hmm. this is important to me to see our own community transform through this effort mm-hmm. and. I think through, you know, our own giving and sharing to these families and children and just being creative in our thoughts, it will transform our community. We have a lot of needs and a lot of children in need, and I'm just learning. I've only been here about 8 months or nine, mm-hmm. but I have so much love for this community and the potential of what we can be and do. And I you know, it's a little cliche, but I think that the one community can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
is 150% the case, and we will make a difference for these children. And I think that our own, you know, community is going to continue to be touched and transformed through what we develop and take forward mm-hmm. as we start to really understand how to take the next steps, because we are just starting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're
great.
You have a good solid ground to stand on and move forward.
Thank you. I think there's Lucas has, you have so much that you could probably share about just thinking about stories or the families or the children, you know, if you.
And I'd just like to say, it sounds like the film is very compelling. I mean, it seems to have make people just stand up and get active. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, let's say maybe it's not the kind of your classic kind of popcorn entertainment for sure.
Right.
It,
yeah.
It touches people hearts, but at the same time, perhaps encourages to do something about it.
And it's appropriate for children as well.
I'd say so. For those maybe not quickly overwhelmed children, because we talk about things which may upset one or the other.
Right, I would think so. I mean, I would think it might be scary.
Yeah, I must tell you that my both kids watched the film last year. They they were then 13 and 9 years old. And the only struggle would be to read subtitles for 78 minutes because that's all in Arabic.
That's right.
A part of that, I think, is not maybe there's no graphic images of any kind.
Of violence, it's just
kids, when they express themselves, they sometimes maybe quite try to express themselves in a very visual way. And whether that might upset someone or not, I'm not sure. But the English kids, they survived. We had around 25 kids, and they were okay.
Right, good.
Many, obviously, questions were asked later on. We did a few times interactive Skype videos with Italian kids and the Syrian kids, and also with the Greek kids and Syrian kids. And you'd be surprised how the kids communicate together. Us adults are not needed there. The kids can do it very well. And they didn't ask, you know, what they need. They just referred to how many toilets do you have in your house.
Right.
So the Italian kids said, like everyone else, 2 or 3. They said, well, we have 7 in the whole refugee camp.
Yeah.
And these were the interesting differences that, you know, kids could relate. And, you know, some of them, they just would like to have a room by themselves to study. They're tired to live with so many people together on the same roof.
Yeah.
They're tired not to have their own space. They are a bit tired to become grown up very quickly because they need to help with the tasks every day, with water and food and work. But I think it's interesting for everyone to see whether people would like to get involved or not, what's in there. Because we got used to watching the news, and somehow, in my opinion, we get immune to it. News not shocking us anymore because we see this every single day. And if someone didn't do anything about it, we see the news again and again and again. We kind of get used to it. And I think that's maybe a little bit wrong. It's not the same as it used to be 30, 40 years ago. And, well, if there was a possibility, I'd like to really, and I'm sure Dana too, to bring everyone to the refugee camp and show people what it's like. You know, could someone survive a week with rodents and
I wouldn't,
and have very limited food when you when you see that your skin deteriorate because you don't have the basic nutrition, that you burned under the sun and you cope with the snow in the winter because they're based in the Lebanese mountains. It's kind of like equivalent of Alcatraz, I guess, because you could go outside if you wanted to, but there's nothing there outside. So I think it's interesting in terms of, you know, maybe awareness and see what you can learn.
It sounds like your film brings the camp to people, even if they haven't gone there in person.
Yes, I feel like the camp became a very big family. They all take care of themselves. Some people could get an impression that the film actually, there's nothing wrong in the camp. They're surrounded by olive trees. They climb trees. They have fun. They go on bicycles, and they look, you know, into each other. So our kids will play together. The older ones will look after the younger ones. There's no traffic, so there's no danger to be hit by a car. But under the surface, there's lots going wrong. The kids who don't have parents, they suffer, of course, psychologically. There are many kids who experience the chemical weapons and the attacks, and they still haven't shaken off that effect. So they stop talking, for example. I've spoken to some of the kids who brought others, and they couldn't communicate because they just lost their voice. There are some other kids who have permanent problems. One had an infection, can I say this, of the testicles, and a complication with his hernia. They still are waiting for a surgery, which costs $1,700, I think. And that's nothing has been done about it because it's not emergency. It's not a matter of life and death. Mm-hmm. So Red Cross or UNICEF cannot act upon that because mm-hmm. there are too many kids like that. There's so many serious problems which we don't see in a film. And I didn't want to bring that up because it's not... I would not like to feel pity for the kids. Right. I'd like us to see that, wow, those kids are brave and very powerful and very energetic. And they just... if they could have access to education, I think they'll soak this alive. They'll really learn mm-hmm. very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Are mm-hmm. they there with their parents? Are the parents there?
Yes, some of them with the mothers. Quite often the father will be missing in the family. Or if mm-hmm. perhaps the father was injured, he may be there. But there's 300-something refugee people altogether and 132 or 138 children. So uh-huh. almost half of them, they're kids. The adults, they're mainly women. So it will be a sister of the family or mother or aunt or grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really tough. Yeah.
Mm. Really?
Yeah. I saw some picture and the kids looked very well dressed. Mm. I thought...
These are the clothes that they receive from the Red Cross and from local Samaritans.
those clothes came from someplace. But
you could see some of them wearing T-shirts or jerseys with Arsenal or Liverpool on it.
Right, yes.
Uh-huh. So we know that they don't come from Lebanon, but yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing this film.
Great.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you can make it.
And I hope you get a good audience there.
Yeah. I hope so.
We believe we will.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've had a really good response to the community. So,
well, the kids good. From the school may come and bring their parents.
Hopefully.
That would be great.
Yeah, I've been working on a lot of invites for a while.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
For sure.
So, again, the website is www.helpsyriaskids.org. Is that apostrophe S in the... address?
It is.
Hmm. Aha.
This isn't.
And there's
maybe I'm looking ahead like, am I wrong?
Well, they can try it either way.
Yeah, I guess if you don't get it, then I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Just Google Help Serious Kids. You'll get it.
.org.
Then there's mm-hmm. a take action button and a donate button.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. And then a community meeting so you can get involved or have some ideas about how to help these kids. August 26th, 11 a.m. at the library. Is that a Saturday?
It is.
Yeah, it's a Saturday.
Okay.
It would be great to reach to anyone who's got any education experience, infrastructure. There's so many things to be done in there.
And yes.
I guess you need to work with experts as well and people who know something about engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're talking about water resources, sewage,
sanitation,
it would be quite great to have someone on board who's got mm-hmm. kind of, you know, area of expertise in that field.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even, you know, we mentioned rodent control, but it's, I mean, just to share a story, for example, when I was speaking with some of the mothers, they were trying to explain to me. They were talking and I was in one of their huts and it was quite beautiful. They get fabric and they use it in creative ways to make their environment look as aesthetically pleasing as they can. It's very clean. And they were talking and they kept kind of pinching my arm and they were trying to tell me, I just couldn't. And I finally figured out they were trying to explain it's beautiful, but the rodents are biting our children and our arms at night. And they were showing me, and there was probably, he was probably, I don't know, 11 months old, and he had like two red marks on his forearm, and I just, it's just impossible to imagine
it's
this.
Horrific.
So there's so much, it's very important, Lucas, I appreciate you added that, because there's so much expertise in these areas that, you know, people come together and it's not straightforward, but the more that more folks we can get together to discuss these challenges, the better.
I was going to say I could send my two cats, but then they'd have to
feed them.
Well, they could feed. They could feast on
the rats.
Mice and rats.
I think they're too large.
Yeah, they probably are. That's terrible.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't think you see many cats in Lebanon. They do have homeless dogs, but I didn't see any cats.
You didn't see cats.
Then you have to feed the cats.
Yeah,
right. They probably.
But that's the main problem, because we touched up on that. Some kind of traps and poison mm-hmm. for the rodents. And they said mm-hmm. they cannot do that because the kids run all around the camp.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
So when you kind of have toddlers walking there everywhere, and yeah. you don't want the kind of, you know, accident happen.
If there are dogs, the dogs, you know, can get in the poison as easily too.
Mm-hmm. As can the children. It's yeah,
I think the children is more important and more dangerous. Yeah. Yes.
Sanitation. Sewage management, these are mm-hmm. very serious problems.
See, maybe someone, one of the listeners, may have some great solution to that and may say, hey guys, there's a quick fix to that, and just mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, come on and bring it on.
Right. Yeah. Please contact us if you have an idea. Yes. There are answers there. Mm-hmm. We'll find them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Great. Anything else our listeners should know about this project?
Okay, I would say that logistics are a problem uh-huh. in Lebanon. There are a few organizations like UNICEF, Save the Children, Red Cross, British Council. They do all support some education and otherwise to the kids. But those who are based in main big cities, that being either Beirut, Tripoli, perhaps Bekaa Valley, but if there's an independent camp on the farmer's land mm-hmm. in the mountains, mm-hmm. they just all refuse to do that.
Right.
Either because they don't have the means for it, they would need to get some buses to get the kids.
Right.
Second thing is that the roads are almost non-existent. When we brought the piano, we thought the piano was going to come in pieces.
There were
potholes all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's very difficult to put the Syrian kids with the Lebanese kids because they're so much behind.
Really?
Some of the Syrian kids, they forgot how to write their own names.
Uh-huh.
They didn't do it for many, many years. Yeah. And they keep losing that kind of access or that kind of what they knew in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So many things there to sort. Need to be sought out, you know, basics like maybe making a little foundation for the houses so the water mm-hmm. doesn't go through it.
Exactly.
And the water brings all this rubbish, garbage, you say, and contaminates, you know, mm-hmm. food and brings disease. So there are perhaps quick little fixes, but some expert need to be on the ground and work with.
You're right.
Yeah.
I think we've covered it with the know the events
Thank
and
you.
The ways to become aware, you know, mm-hmm. through the event and to participate in solutions to the problems that we have.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming in mm-hmm. and sharing this with us.
Yeah.
And with the audience.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
We'll see you on Sunday.
Yes.
Excellent. All right.